Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Kip Stube. Today we are talking to workers' leaders as the world marks International Labor Day. But first news from elsewhere. A majority of younger voters in this U.S. presidential election say they wish they had someone other than Joseph Biden or Donald Trump to choose from. Some of that has to do with the candidates' advanced ages. But who are these younger voters picking one of the two? VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has the story.
In a race between the two oldest presumptive major party nominees to run for president, there are questions in this campaign about the candidates' fitness for office, especially from younger voters. Desmond Kager would like a different choice.
Republicans or Democrats can, you know, put someone on the ticket that actually is, you know, worth voting for, then a vote for them.
A Pew Research survey last week found that two-thirds of voters under age 30 would replace both candidates if they had the chance. So who are the young people backing Biden or Trump? Concerns about reproductive rights means Biden has the support of Francesca Paniello.
I think abortion is important to me, abortion care, the right to be able to choose.
Abortion rights and recreational marijuana are both on the Florida ballot this November. That's bringing out younger voters for Democratic causes, says Jaden D'Onofrio.
Youth voters have a real opportunity to shape the electoral landscape here in Florida. We've seen that the right to choice and recreational marijuana are critical to the beliefs and importance of youth voters and what's top of mind for them, especially with the right to choice.
Some young people oppose Biden for his support for Israel in the war in Gaza, but that's likely to earn him the vote of Eliana Stein.
Right now, for me, one of the most important things is continued support for Israel, especially throughout this conflict that's going on. So I really appreciate everything that President Biden has been doing to support the country of Israel in this current conflict.
Young people supporting Trump include Wisconsin voters Brianna Bonilla and Jonathan Boyer.
I've tried to have conversations with people who don't like Trump, and they're like, you can leave, I don't want to talk to you more. So I think that's the main problem. People aren't open to listening. They're just like, if you like Trump, you're a horrible person, or just that. So I feel like...
Yeah, there's never any open discussion,
I feel
really.
Like if you're able to have an open discussion, I feel like a lot of people make it say, you know, they just come off like you can't say anything, or they won't talk to you, or they'll tell everyone, and...
Young Trump supporters are accustomed to people their age questioning their political choices, says Isaiah Turner.
I'll go to the bars wearing a Trump 2024 hat, and I get weird looks like crazy all around from people, but I don't really, it doesn't bother me.
Turner says he admires Trump's stance against corruption.
I think there is a ton of corruption. And I think that there's a lot of very scandalous things that is going on all over the world. And I think Trump is one of the only men that has actually had the balls on him, so to say, to call out these people and not be afraid of them. I just feel like he's going to do what's best for the country, you know.
A Reuters Ipsos poll in March showed Americans between the ages of 18 and 29 favor Biden over Trump by 3 percentage points. That's a far smaller margin than the 24% gap that Biden won the youth vote with 4 years ago. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Thank you very much, Scott. In our VOA Corruption series today, Economic and Accountability Bodies in Malawi urged the government to address flaws in the public procurement system. A 2021 Malawi Assurance Report on Public Infrastructure Projects suggests pervasive corruption in Malawi's public sector. The construction industry is particularly affected. Chimwene Patapa has this story.
Potholes and other road defects are an integral part of the daily urban experience. Beyond posing a threat to drivers and their passengers, they represent one of the impediments to the socio-economic development of a country.
The current condition of the road is increasing vehicle costs, travel time, and even damage to the current load.
As a result of the deteriorating road condition, motorists take 3 hours travel between Lilongwe and Kasungu, a distance that was initially covered in less than 2 hours. Economist Beth Apiri is adamant that the country's road infrastructure has affected economic growth.
If we do have a good road infrastructure, what it entails is that the social and economic development can flourish so easily, because the roads have a potential actually to stimulate the volume of trade, opening up of new markets, attracting more investors actually.
Accountability and Transparency bodies are pointing out flaws in public procurement systems that enable bribery, allowing unqualified construction firms to secure major contracts.
We have seen contracts being awarded to individuals who do not have even a single machinery, a single company. We have also seen infrastructure projects that are of substandard simply because there was collusion between government officials and contractors, and the result is delivery of poor infrastructure projects.
In response to growing concerns about the condition of the country's roads, Minister of Transport and Public Works Jacob Hara has reassured Malawians of swift rehabilitation efforts. Against this background, the construction industry regulator, the National Construction Industry Council of Malawi, NCIC, has upped its game, providing supervision on existing projects.
There are circumstances that lead to poor quality of infrastructure, one of which would be corruption. Some projects have actually failed at conception. The way the project is conceived, it is already a failure. Sometimes they fail at procurement.
The industry regulator has started issuing stop orders on construction projects that have breached contractual agreements in line with the National Construction Industry Act. Commuters say urgent actions are needed to fix the existing road network and ensure the implementation of the country's ambitions. Malawi envisions creating a multi-modal transport system by year 2063. One of the key components of the plan is to have well-maintained and upgraded roads connecting urban and rural areas.
In the next few years, we'll pick up, especially looking at the large projects such as roads, which don't take months, even a year to be completed. But it's because we have seen a lot of commitment from the government, we have seen a lot of commitment from the private sector, we have seen a lot of commitment from joint partners.
A 2023 World Bank Transport Infrastructure Sector Assessment Program report shows that Malawi needs 1.5 trillion kwacha, an equivalent of $8.6 million for road projects by 2025 to spur economic growth. Chimwime Padata, VOA News, Lilongwe, Malawi.
Thanks very much for that piece, Chimwawe. Back to our topic of the day. Zimbabwean workers joined others in the world today to commemorate International Labour Day, or May Day, whose focus this year is on social justice in the wake of climate change and technological challenges in the workplace. In his May Day message, President Emmerson Mnangagwa praised Zimbabweans for their resilience, dedication and hard work, saying they are the backbone of the Southern African nation, which is facing serious social, economic and political problems. Workers are struggling to make ends meet while doctors, nurses, engineers and others have left the country to seek greener pastures. Many professionals are currently preparing to leave the country. Economic stagnation has resulted in poor working conditions in all sectors in Zimbabwe, with workers struggling to make ends meet as the majority are earning less than $100 per month. International Labour Day is celebrated annually on the first day of May to mark the struggles and challenges and achievements of the working class. In a Workers' Day event held in Harare today, Public Service Director Mrs. Busisa Moyo said government is aware of the workers' plight.
Government is cognizant of the fact that Workers' Day is being celebrated at a time when the country is faced with economic challenges, characterized by high levels of inflation that are constantly eroding workers' incomes and negatively impacting all the livelihoods of Zimbabweans. Painful as it may be, this predicament cannot be ameliorated by adopting an adversarial approach, but instead requires us to work together as government, business, and workers. The government has recently implemented new strategies to tackle hyperinflation and the currency depreciation resulting from speculative activities. One significant move is the introduction of the structured currency we now know as the Zimbabwe Gold. This initiative underscores our dedication to protecting the purchasing power of the workers' wages and salaries amidst rising inflationary pressures.
Yeah, in fact, that was Public Service Director Mr. Busani Moyo speaking to Studio 7. We also talked to ZCTU President Florence Tarubinga.
Vashandi havasi kufara muZimbabwe. Magariro nemararamiro avo ari kuramba achimbunyikidzwa. Hapana mushandi anokwanisa kusimuka kuti ndiri kuenda kwakati pane ino nguva zvichienderana nezvavanazvo muhomwe dzavo. Vashandi vemuZimbabwe havana chiraramo chakakodzera chakarwirwa hondo muZimbabwe, chinoita kuti ivo vange vachizviti tiri vashandi vari muZimbabwe. Kune vanozviti mbinga muZimbabwe. And you ask yourself kuti mbinga ndiani muZimbabwe? Mushandi ari kurarama achishanda ari kutadza kudya chikafu kairi muZimbabwe, ari kutadza kuenda kuzvikoro kunobhadharira vana vavo zvikoro. Vashandi vemuZimbabwe vakutozivikanwa kuzvikoro kuti zvikoro zvakuvhurwa vachauya vachipema. Toita vanonzi mbinga dzinosiyiwa nehurumende dzichiita zvavanoda nemacitizens muZimbabwe, vachiramba vachishamisira nezvavanazvo zvatisingazivi kuti zvakabvepi. Nekuti kana upfumi huri munyika, upfumi huchiwanikwa munyika huri kufanira kuonekwa nesu vashandi muZimbabwe. Mararamiro edu, magariro edu ndo determination inotaura kuti nyika neikonomi yeZimbabwe iri kuenda kumberi. Tichitaura nemari itsva yakaparurwa, ndozve zvimwe zvandareva chinoita kuti inzi mari yemunyika iri kubvumwa nevanhu vese. Iconsultation, trust nefaithfulness. Tiri vanhu vari kurarama munyika yeZimbabwe vari kuziya mararamiro ataibva kuna 2008. Tiri kuziya maunzirwo akaita Zimbabwe dollar nebhondi to an extent yekuti the governor then akati kana bhondi raramba kushanda ndino resigna. Akasvika pakuresigna pakuchinjwa ugavena mari isati yashanda, mushanda achiramba achitambudzika. Hatidi kuramba tichiti ichashanda nekuti hasati taona kushanda kwayo.
Florence Tarubinga is the ZCTU president. She was speaking to Studio 7 in Harare. Political activist Ostalo Siziba also attended the event.
Continue to celebrate this important day as the people. We celebrate this day as Zimbabweans. We celebrate this day as the daughters and sons of the working people. Obviously, we are celebrating it in a very difficult time. Both the state of the economy in our country, 89% of the people in this country are unemployed. For young people, it's almost 100% of young people working at the blessing of an empty stomach and a jobless existence. The alternative is led by President Chamisa, continues to celebrate this important historic day, not in the history of our country, but in the history of the struggles world over. That's why we're joining with citizens in Zimbabwe, in Africa, and the world in general to celebrate this important day. Of course, there are fundamental issues around the unions and so forth. That's why you see people expressing themselves around certain interferences of the regime with the progressive union in this country. But that's a matter that the workers are dealing with. Our focus and objective is to celebrate this important day as a people and to make sure that we continue to encourage the few that are working in this country to keep on working, but with intention to ensure that we fight for democratization of this country. Look at the emergence of all these other people who are not government officials participating in quasi-government activities. So all these are signs of illegitimacy, are signs of failure, and that is the root cause that we must talk about. We encourage the people in this country to ensure that we resolve the governance question by having a legitimate government that was voted for them. Thank you.
That was political activist Ostalos Ziziba, who is also the former CCC deputy spokesperson. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA in the Valley. We're also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. This evening, we're talking about struggles faced by workers in Zimbabwe and beyond. To discuss this issue, we're joined by Mr. Kenya Samyarira, leader of the Zimbabwe Federation of Trade Unions, and Mr. Wangani Mkwananzi, spokesperson of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa. So let's start with you in earnest, Mr. Mkwananzi. So tell us a bit about, this day. How important is it? And welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks to the listeners. Workers' Day is a very, very important day because workers are the backbone of any economy. They produce whatever it is that is then consumed by everyone else. So for the wheels of the economy to turn, there's got to be workers. And it is this day that is meant to give them that honor and recognize their contribution to society.
Yes, and Mr. Shamyarira, is there anything to celebrate? And welcome to the program, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. And I want to greet all the fellow working compatriots in the trenches the world over.
Thank you.
Yes, to say something to celebrate might be skewed and not be very clear. But the fact is that workers are there world over. Now, in our context as Zimbabwean working class, we are demanding, it's high time that we must have a radical inclusivity in all economic policies that are enunciated by His Excellency at the highest level, cabinet level, and the entirety of the country through the tripartite negotiating forum, which is our legislative framework. Hence, if you understand, our theme for this year is working class demanding a radical inclusivity in all economic policies against extractive and parasitic capital. And this, we are talking in terms of capital that is investment, that is business, that's the capital. Now when we talk of extractive and parasitic, we are talking of both investors from foreign land and both investors within our own land. We have over time seen that workers are used to rubber stamp policies that are formulated without them putting a contribution through their leaders, ourselves. And they are only allowed to receive for the betterment of a category of elite monopoly neoliberalists who continue to freeze, who continue to make sure that workers will work, toil, and get slave wages. Workers will not even realize the benefit of value chain beneficiation from all the produce and all the products that they may manufacture in industry, in the agricultural sector, in the mining sector, except for the few elite connected. Mm-hmm. And I think it's high time, given the world coming together in terms of economic adventures, we need to see employment being created. We need to see workers getting a living wage, workers being uplifted in their social beingness. Workers must have decent accommodation. Workers must have good transport facilities. Workers must have good health facilities. Workers must have good schooling facilities for their kids and children. All this is none. Hence, all these elite monopoly cartels, they continue to put their children, their health facilities, they get it from abroad in the first world.
Yeah, let me cut you short. I'll come back to you. Let me cut you short there.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mkhwanazi, I think you are hearing very clearly what Mr. Tarawinga is saying. So he's actually fighting against capital, he's fighting against monopolism and all those kind of things. But is it possible to live in a world without all these? And what could be the role of workers in that kind of a thing? Yeah, once Chang is in the valley, we should get on a skill briefly.
Is it possible to live in a world without capitalism?
Yes.
The concept ye capitalism yona ngokwayo yi concept engazilungelanga ezisebenzi ngoba ingqondo ye capitalism ithi yona lo onayo leyo capital nguye okumele athole igain esebenzisa amandla azo izisebenzi zona isikhathi esiningi zicine zingasatholanga izithukuthuku zazo ezifaneleyo. So i-capitalism ngokwakhiwa kwayo yona i-exploitative ilokucindezela thize okwenza ukuthi kuthatheke i-benefit yamandla ezisebenzi iyezuzwa ngabalutshwane labo abanayo i-capital. Yikho-ke ngingavumelana naye ngempela ukuthi hhayi i-capitalism imbi for izisebenzi. Yebo, umnotho uyenelisa ukuba khona kungela concept yona le-capitalism. Uzananzelela abantu abanenkolelo ku-Marxism Leninism ababhiliva ku-communism baya kugcizelela kakhulu lokho. So the issue workers would have with capitalism is its exploitative nature, where capitalists utilize that they have the capital, and then all the means of production become owned by a few elite, but then the actual workers who are toiling end up not really benefiting from their hard work and sweat, and thus capitalism becomes a concept which workers are always encouraged to unite and do away with such, and so much that they own the means of production themselves. So the world can live without capitalism, because ideally, according to workers, we would say workers of the world unite so that you own the means of production, and it is not owned by a few who gain huge profits at the expense of the workers.
Thank you very much. Let me go back to Mr. Shamaria. So realizing that you are saying you've got these problems, what about corruption and favoritism, nepotism, you know, being done by some people? Can't you factor in there that maybe it's also affecting workers? I mean, if you look at the corruption levels in African countries, including Zimbabwe, very high. So is it not affecting you?
Thank you very much. I want to agree 100% with what Mr. Mkhwanazi just alluded to. That's a fact. But let me also be very frank and candid with given the dynamics of the changing world in the unipolar world. The issue of capitalism, if it is capitalism that is above board, it can be celebrated by the workers. As long as it is able to provide living wages, basic health system, education system, pension scheme, Americans, they have got all those facilities. But here when it becomes extractive and parasitic, it becomes a very dangerous cancer. Hence, it can breed cronyism, corruption, separatism, sectarianism, tribalism to Africa, and those people that are politically connected, denazism, the people who think that this world was created for them and they must continue to trample upon other human beings, be they black workers, white workers, whatever, they must trample upon them as super beings. That, it's high time we must fight against that. It's high time we must demand our space as the working class. Because we are the vanguard of any economy the world over. We are the people who put the shoulders on the wheels day in and day out. And we must be able to gain beneficially and meaningfully what we sweat for.
Mm-hmm.
Because we sell labor.
Yes, I can hear you, Mr. Semyerida. Just 1 second there. Let me go back to Mr. Mkwananzi. So, Mr. Mkwananzi, without capital, how do you compete with those people who have already occupied that space? That becomes complicated. I mean, you cannot own the means of production. Right now at your workplace, you are a worker, right? So how do you advance yourself, briefly?
I think the very thought that production is meant to be competitive is the one that creates the exploitative nature of capitalism, is the one that fuels it. Overproduction or production for making profits, in general, tends to have that effect where workers are then exploited so that the owner of capital gets a lot out of their work in terms of their own profit. And that is the gripe that workers would have. What Mr. Shamira said is, well, if capitalism honors the worker and gives them wages that also uplift them, perhaps it is correct. Yes, it is the indecency of wanting to exploit the toil of the worker for personal profits of the large, especially.
Oh, I think it's been cut off. So, Mr. Shamira, how do you work yourself up to, you know, task like, you know, getting to par with those that have got capital? Just briefly. Are you there, Mr. Shamira? So, I think our guests have been cut off. Mr. Mkwananzi, are you still there or? Maybe you have been cut off as well. So I'm seeing that some people are even sending messages on our Facebook pages, and thank you so much. I would have read those messages. But our time is out. We are out of time. We have to leave it there. We thank you all for joining us tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk. Signing off from Washington, this is Kip Stube saying, good night, Zimbabwe.